Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text 14. Siddhayar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmanaha Sheshe Svatvam Tyajan Pragya Padavim Mahatam Iya. Siddhayar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmanaha Sheshe Svatvam Tyajan Pragya Padavim Mahatam Iyat. Siddhayar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmanaha Sheshe Svatvam Tyajan Pragya Padavim Mahatam Iyat. Siddhayar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmanaha Sheshe Svatvam Tyajan Pragya Padavim Mahatam Iyat. Siddhar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmana Sadhavya Padavim Ramaya. Siddhar Yajna Vishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmana. Vaishnavis, Yajnavishishtartai Kalpayet Vritim Atmanaha Sheshe Svatvam Tyajan Pragya Padavim Mahatam Iyat. Siddhai, things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Yajna avashishta artai. Things obtained after a sacrifice is offered to the Lord or after the recommended Panchasuna Yajna is performed. Kalpayet, one should consider. Vritim, the means of livelihood. Atmanaha, for the self. Sheshe, at the end. Svatva, so-called proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, business, and so on. Over one's wife, children, home, business, and so on. Jajan, giving up. Pragyaha, those who are wise. Padavim, the position. Mahatam, of the great personalities who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness. Iyat, should achieve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. Please repeat. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. Purport. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bahonam yo vidyadati kaman. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore, one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on the land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Verse again, an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. Does anyone know what the five kinds of yajna are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've heard them mentioned. Srila Prabhupada mentions them in a couple of places, but I don't recall exactly what they are. But the main point that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport about this is not so much, you know, those five different kinds of yajna, but rather the idea that Krishna has arranged to feed, as Srila Prabhupada says, the elephant and the ant and everyone in between. So, jiva jivasya jivanam, one living entity eats off the other living entities. And there's a section in the Srimad Bhagavatam where it's described, there's the fruits and flowers, those are food for the insects and the birds. And then the grass is food for some of the four-legged animals, the ones that can't use their front legs as hands. Then there's these other kinds of four-legged animals that can use their two front legs as hands, like tigers and lions and things like that. So, you know, the animals that eat grass, they're food for them. And then, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that for the human beings, there are, you know, these different animals, because some human beings do eat meat and food grains and other things for those who are more or less in the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, we learn there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And all different kinds of human activities can be classified according to these three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Actually, it was one of the things that first impressed me about Bhagavad Gita. I, sometime early in 1974, I got a copy of Bhagavad Gita at a Grateful Dead concert in upstate New York. And I took it home and I began reading it and I couldn't put it down. Actually, I became a little, as I went through the book, I started slowing down because I didn't want to reach the end of it. Fortunately, I found an address in the front of the book. It said, if you're interested in this subject matter, you can write to the secretary, 3764 Watsika Avenue, Los Angeles, California. So, back in those days, I was living in upstate New York, but I wrote to Los Angeles, and from here, the secretary of the BBT. Who is the secretary of the BBT now? Is it Suradas? I think so. But anyways, there have been various secretaries for the BBT over the years. And, you know, they've brought many people to the Krishna consciousness movement by corresponding with them, sending them books, posters, cassettes. No cassettes anymore. CDs. Now, so in the Bhagavad Gita that I got, I was very impressed with the description of the three modes of material nature, because it was just so obvious that this was something real. You know, a lot of other spiritual books you read and it seems like, what's the relationship with reality? But the descriptions of the three modes of nature and the Bhagavad Gita were just obvious. I'd never noticed them before until the Gita pointed them out. But upon reading the Gita and looking at the world, you could actually see them in operation. Like, people work in different modes of nature. Their nature, their personal nature is influenced by the modes of material nature. Person in the mode of ignorance is addicted to laziness, oversleeping, intoxication, you know, performing all kinds of crude activities. So one can actually see that there are people like that. Then there are people in the mode of passion who are very much interested in material advancement, you know, struggling for profit, adoration, distinction, some position, some influence. And then there are those in the mode of goodness who are trying to live simply and naturally and cultivate spiritual values somehow or other. So it was very obvious, you know, when I looked at the world that, yes, that's true. And then there's religion in the different modes of nature. Religion in the mode of ignorance, people worship ghosts and demons. So tomorrow, you'll be entering into those, among those who are in that spirit. You know, there's this Halloween celebration where, I mean, you go around, go on, anywhere you go these days, you know, you can see all kinds of images of ghosts and skeletons and demons and then people, how do they worship them? By getting drunk, getting intoxicated, performing all kinds of crazy activities. So, of course, tomorrow, when all that's going on, I'll be on an airplane flying over the Atlantic to Hungary, to Budapest, Hungary, where I'll be going for a couple of weeks. But and then there's also food and, you know, the different modes of nature. And in this verse, food that's beyond the modes of nature is being described, prasad. Actually, as devotees, we want to transcend even the mode of goodness and achieve the platform of pure goodness, shuddha-sattva. And that means it's not sufficient just to be a vegetarian or a vegan. One has to be eating the remnants of sacrifice. Yagya shistashana shanto muchinte sarvakil bishai. If we eat only the remnants of food offered in sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we are liberated from all sinful activities. Bunjite te toigam papam ye pachantyat makaranat. If you're preparing food, even in the mode of goodness, for your own satisfaction and pleasure, then that is still considered sinful. You're still acquiring some sinful reaction that will keep you entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So this prasad is a very important principle of spiritual life. There are so many kinds of eating activities, you know, going on in the world. You know, we can see it all around us. But the topmost eating activity is honoring prasadam, the sanctified foodstuffs offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's just such, it has just such amazing potency. We are all examples of that. We all have our experience that at some point we got our first taste of prasadam, and then after that our whole lives have changed. And there's it's really amazing that there are so many devotees of the Lord who know how, have been trained how to prepare so many wonderful preparations to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all in their debt. of course, Srila Prabhupada himself started this, you know, when he came to New York City in the 1960s. You know, he was preparing chapatis, dal, sabji, sweet rice, so many different kinds of preparations, and sharing them with those persons who were attracted to him in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he trained, you know, some of his disciples to also make these preparations. So there's a whole, you know, disciplic succession of cooks in the Krishna consciousness movement who are very expert at preparing these things. But if you trace it all back, it goes back to Srila Prabhupada himself, you know, who was personally doing these things. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also makes the point that one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. He's making the point that Krishna is providing food, sustenance for all living entities. So it's not really necessary to work so hard for food, for economic development. One should be putting most of one's human energy into developing one's Krishna consciousness. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that we've achieved this valuable human form of life, we should be using it to understand the real spiritual nature of the self and its eternal relationship with the Supreme Spirit Self, Krishna. It's just like, I mean, Srila Prabhupada often makes use of military analogies, you know, to help us understand different aspects of Krishna consciousness. He talked about Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army and so on and so forth. So, you know, I served in the military for a couple of years in the United States Navy. And you really get some understanding of the point that Prabhupada's making here. You don't have to worry about your food or your place to stay. That's all taken care of. You're there to do your mission. You know, each military unit has its mission. So, similarly, Srila Prabhupada is making the point here, one should not be very much anxious, he writes, about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. So our modern human civilization is very, very much misdirected in this regard. They don't have a proper understanding of what the real goal of life is. So it's amazing how, you know, Srila Prabhupada was, on the one hand, very attentive to, you could say, the individual practice of Krishna consciousness. He wanted his disciples to advance in Krishna consciousness, and he was very attentive to them, helping them on an individual level. But he also had these larger concerns for changing the direction of the whole human society. So our present human society is very unbalanced. You know, they nate vidu svartikatimhi Vishnu, Durasha ye bahirati manina. They don't realize that pleasing Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. And therefore, they're trying so hard to fulfill so many desires that can never really be completely satisfied. And there's huge arrangements for that. According to the Vedic standard, you know, the way that you judge a civilization is how many of the souls in that civilization are going back to Godhead. You know, that's how you judge the success of a civilization. And this modern civilization is not doing very well in according to that standard, because it's systematically engaging people in activities, eating meat, taking intoxication, gambling. It's engaging people systematically in activities that are going to keep them entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement, as Srila Prabhupada set it up, was to help the members individually get out of the cycle of birth and death, become pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also to move the whole human society in that same direction. So it's a very big responsibility that we all have. Another interesting point I thought about in reading this verse was the last line of it. When one is able to do this, in other words, when one is practicing Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. So coming to that position of becoming firmly fixed is a little difficult. We all struggle with it. I mean, sometimes we think we're firmly fixed, but then the next moment we see we're not so firmly fixed. So coming to that, you know, position of being firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma, Mahatmanastamam Partha, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, one has to come to this position of becoming a Mahatma. So, a great soul. And who is the great soul? The great soul is one who is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, coming to that position of being firmly fixed is something we all have to practice. And that's one of the advantages of living in a society of devotees. Tandaro Charana Seva Bhaktisani Vas. It's stated that one should serve the spiritual master in a society of devotees, in the society of devotees, and Srila Prabhupada has created such a society of devotees. He made individuals his disciples, and he has his individual relationship with his disciples and grand disciples, but he's also created an arrangement for those devotees to associate with each other and serve him in a society. So in the society of devotees, in any society, there's a kind of social pressure. When you're a part of any group or any society, there's some kind of social pressure from your peers and to act in a certain way. So, you know, for example, if you associate with a society of gamblers, then you try to become an expert cheater and gambler. If you associate with a society of thieves, then there's pressure to be a good thief. If you associate with devotees, with a society of devotees, then there's a kind of pressure to gradually advance in Krishna consciousness and to maintain some kind of standard. So that may be uncomfortable, but it's actually for our benefit that there is that kind of pressure to maintain the standards of Krishna consciousness, to advance in Krishna consciousness, and to carry out the mission of the Hare Krishna movement as, you know, Srila Prabhupada established it. So becoming firmly fixed in all of this is our task. You know, we should think, well, what are our aspirations? What is it that we want to achieve in life? You know, everybody has some aspiration. So the devotees want to, I mean, it's Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshashtaka. You know, he states the aspiration of a devotee. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhagavad bhaktir hoitiki tvayi. That we, a devotee doesn't want wealth, followers, beautiful husband or wife, or reputation as a scholar. One simply wants to serve Krishna lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And if in the course of that service one gets some wealth or followers or husband or wife, or children, some reputation, and it can be used in Krishna's service without attachment, then That's the position of Mahatma. So, I'll stop there. Anyone have any question or comment? Archita Prabhu. Well, I was invited to give some lectures at the devotee college that they have there. And some years ago, the devotees established a university there. It required an act of the government to establish it. So the government gives a yearly budget, you know, pays the salaries of the devotee professors, gives grants to the students who study there. Of course, they're only teaching in Hungarian language, so if you want to go there at the present moment, you'd have to learn how to speak Hungarian. But they have a plan in the future to start teaching in English so they can have international students come. And so I'm going to be giving some talks at the devotee college there. I'll visit the Hungarian farm community, Krishna Valley, it's called. It's probably one of the best examples of a spiritual farm community striving for self-sustainability, you know, in our Krishna conscious movement. So I'll be there for Govardhan Puja. And I guess when I get there, I'll see what else is going on. Yes? For in a college.
One thing that I like is where Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion.
Because most people want to do that.
You know, like people say, like a lot of young people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. So I say, great, that's what God says. Abandon all variety of religion, just be spiritual, surrender to me. Each individual is different, I think. In one of the talks I'm going to give at the devotee college to students there is a lecture that I call Levels of God Realization in the Bhagavad Gita. And yeah, the basic idea there is that Bhagavad Gita is not presented in a dogmatic way. It's presented as a dialogue, you know, between a seeker, Arjuna, and the source of spiritual knowledge, Krishna. So it's a dialogue. You can ask questions. You can express doubts. You can have your questions answered in a satisfying way. Just like, and so in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents everything. He presents atheism. He presents demigod worship. He presents worship of ghosts and spirits. He presents all the varieties of religious experience and then explains what the shortcomings and advantages of each are. until finally you're brought to understanding of the personality of Godhead. So for intelligent people, college students, you know, I would tend to emphasize that this is a science of spiritual life where all the varieties of it are explained, and it's in the form of a dialogue. So those are the kinds of things that I present. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.